This is an oral history of Florence Blake, well-known pediatric nurse and first director of the graduate program of the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Nursing. The interview was done on August 14th, 1975 by Signe Cooper. Let's begin, Florence, with some information about you. Would you tell me about the date and place of your birth?
I was born in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, November 30th, 1907.
And will you give me your parents' names?
James and Thema Dunlap Blake.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your education, including the School of Nursing in which you were enrolled.
I enrolled at Michael Reese Hospital School of Nursing, and in 1925, at age 17, and graduated in 1928. As a part of that, I had a semester summer school at University of Chicago, which started me out in graduate education.
Oh.
Then I worked for a year, and then I went to Teachers College, and went there that year, you get the dates, and then again in 1933 and 34 to finish work for the BS degree in teaching of nursing. Then I went to Merrill Palmer School and University of Michigan and got my master's degree there and had an extra semester of public health nursing at the University of Michigan. Then that was combined with Merrill Palmer School in Detroit. Uh-huh. Did I say that? Then I took some special experiences at Bellevue Hospital in New York in pediatric nursing, and in Boston Children's Hospital. And then I went to Institute of Psychoanalysis in Chicago for 3 years as I worked at the University of Chicago and got a diploma in psychoanalytic child care. You'll have to look up all those dates.
Very good, very good. Okay, let's go back to your first employment. What was your first job in nursing?
My first job in nursing was a head nurse in the private pavilion and for 5 or 6 months, and then I was assistant instructor in nursing arts, all of this at Michael Reese Hospital, and had a semester of teaching nursing arts, and then I went to school.
I see. Okay. Tell me a little bit about why you went into nursing.
Well, because I'd always thought about nursing and played at it and was in a family that was interested in nursing. My father was a minister. He used to visit in the hospital, and I used to often go with him. And I was terribly interested. Then my uncle was one of the founders of the Marshfield Clinic, a surgeon, and I heard medicine and nursing. And both my father and my uncle thought nursing was the best preparation a woman could possibly have. And I was terribly interested in it. I can remember when my father had an operation and was ill. And my fantasy is that I helped to take care of him. And I don't know whether this is true or not. But I always thought of nursing and played at it all through high school. And really, University of Wisconsin was the place I longed most to go. But my uncle being a surgeon and had trained in Montreal, thought I should go someplace where I'd get vast clinical experience, and he thought Cook County or Michael Reese or St. Luke's Presbyterian was the place to go. And my father, right?
And the university program was brand new.
The university program was brand new, and he just didn't think there'd be enough clinical work comparison to University of, or any of the hospitals in Chicago. Uh-huh. He just thought clinical experience was the most important uh-huh. thing on earth. And of course, I grew up thinking that too, uh-huh. working. And I wanted to yeah. work with patients. Uh-huh. I wanted to do nursing, uh-huh. bedside nursing, uh-huh. really.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of your other kinds of nursing employment. Were there any really outstanding experiences that you've had in nursing? Or are you going to tell me they were all outstanding?
Just exactly what I'm going to tell you, because they were. Uh-huh. They really were. I look back on them as being all marvelous experiences, with the exception of one. Uh-huh. And yet, I expect that contributed vastly in looking at nursing more carefully. But University of Michigan was just separating education and supervision. And I was the first person to have education without supervision. Uh-huh. And I had always had it combined before. Uh-huh. And being just a teacher, it was very problematic uh-huh. for the head nurses as well as uh-huh. for me. And I didn't understand what the problem was. Uh-huh. I think now as I look back, it was role conflict. Uh-huh. We both were terribly deprived of the pleasures we'd had in different jobs. You uh-huh. see, the head nurses had been very important in education. I took it all out of their hands. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Instead of using them to the fullest capacity.
Yes.
But I didn't understand uh-huh. the role nor what was going on in relationships. And it was miserable. Mm-hmm. And I left there within a half an hour after I finished the job. I stayed only a year. Uh-huh. Then went to Yale and was supervisor of the pediatric unit plus the instructor and then an assistant professor. And the combination restored or something. And this is what Yale wanted.
Right.
And Yale was a perfectly marvelous experience.
Now, when you were at Yale, this was the time at which they were taking... Was it the time
college
when they were
graduates.
Taking college graduates? And so... So that you really had a very well-prepared, basically well-prepared student who came into that program, which led to the master's in nursing, right?
Right.
And how long were you at Yale?
4 years.
4 years.
And simply loved it. Some of our students were PhDs, uh-huh. and of course they came in with very different kinds of backgrounds, uh-huh. but the students were simply phenomenal. And of course, that was during the war period.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the cooperation between medicine and nursing was absolutely magnificent, and social work.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that the teaching, the students were so vitally interested in nursing. And loved the clinical practice uh-huh. and the learning that went uh-huh. with it. So that I'd almost say that in Peking,
where
I got the greatest uh-huh. satisfaction. And I'm not sure I didn't contribute more in those places.
Because of your satisfactions.
Because of my satisfactions yeah. and also because I had administrative authority. And I was working with the staff nurses as well as the students. And the staff nurses were the models.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's an interesting observation. I've been doing some reading about the Yale program and those experiments, that experiment, the Yale program and the Western Reserve program. And as one looks at those programs, it's obvious that they were able to do certain things because they were endowed programs. And one looks at the whole picture of nursing and thinks, that could have set a pattern for nursing education, but because of the economics, perhaps among other things, they really didn't. You know, the idea, although it's been modified in other places, it wasn't really, well, it didn't catch on.
Uh-huh.
And I often think, I'd like to speculate with you a little bit, do you think this might still be the model for nursing education in the future? or somewhat similar to that. In other words, the people who come into nursing programs really come with a good, solid educational background before they begin the nursing?
That's what I was predicting. My hunch is that before too long, a bachelor's degree at least will be required for admission.
Uh-huh.
And I'd predict, and I hope, really, that service and education move closer together, because I think they've both got so much to contribute to the other.
Yes.
Now, at Yale, the students carried great service loads. We had to during the war.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have the people. Mm-hmm. And they loved the practice.
They were responsible.
Well, they were responsible, mm-hmm. We're learning so much as a consequence of doing, and we, all of us who were in supervisory and education jobs, worked with them very closely in the units.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting point and an interesting observation. Anything else about your experience at Yale?
Well, the cooperation was phenomenal. And of course, we had the Gazelle Clinic across the street. And I instituted there a program for children that provided activities that were more conducive to normal growth and development. I'd taken nursery school teaching before I went to Yale. I'd taken nursery school teaching at Merrill Palmer School and at TC. And so I instituted programs where the children had play periods and they ate together at the table. The students participated as teachers ate with them. And of course we had this Gazelle Clinic across the street where the students observed and had conferences. Then they came on to the ward and they provided the activity programs under supervision, which not only meant wonderful learning for students, but it provided a different kind of nursing care for children.
Right.
And nursing carried this load. And when I left, they got two nursery school teachers to run it.
Oh.
And I think probably that was the start of nursery school child development people coming into hospitals and doing these kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
But it was a marvelous 2-week experience for the students where they were really helping children to play and helping them to learn to feed themselves and to move about and listen to stories and play at games and this sort of thing. And it made for a different atmosphere on the wards. And the head nurses complained bitterly when we began, because I don't think they understood what the purpose of it was. But before long, they were participating and having staff nurses participate and complaining during the months of vacation when we didn't have students to be play teachers. So that... And the cooperation I got at Yale in doing things, well, it was very similar to here.
Mm-hmm.
The cooperation here was magnificent, really.
Good.
And the cooperation here, I couldn't have wished for any better.
Good.
And that was from not only in nursing and medicine, but really in social service and child development people were just, and the people in the community agencies and service people. The service people were absolutely phenomenal, which was in striking contrast to some of my experiences in Chicago.
Uh-huh. Okay, now did you go to Peking from Yale?
I went to Peking before Yale.
Before Yale, oh.
And had been instructor and supervisor of pediatric nursing.
Now,
there.
That was an arrangement with Yale, was it not?
No.
Oh.
You're thinking of Yale in China.
Oh.
I was not in Yale in China.
Oh, you were not?
No.
Oh,
I was in
the
Beiping Union Medical College under the China Medical Board of the Rockefeller Foundation.
Oh.
That was very different. And that was a phenomenal school of nursing.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Those students were college students. That was in 1936 to 39. And those girls had had 2 years of college and graduated with an RN and BS. And they were brilliant students. Marvelous. The Chinese loved to learn. And again, the cooperation between medicine and nursing was just great, really. And I think, again, it was because I was in a supervisory role, mm-hmm. you see. Mm-hmm. And they were dependent upon me. Mm-hmm. And the staff was dependent upon me for recognition and teaching, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were meticulous in carrying out orders, medical orders, and the children were acutely ill, many of them were, and so that the nursing, physical nursing care was very meticulous and detailed. And we were very careful in carrying out doctor's orders. Well, this made them look at us in a different way,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then they began to see that nursing contributed something over and beyond the doctor's order.
Ah, yes.
And they worked to cooperate with uh-huh. us.
Were you the only American in that setting?
In pediatrics.
But there were others in the...
There were many others.
I see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there was an American in practically every other. Not all.
I see.
But as heads. And we were over there to train Chinese to take over these supervising uh-huh. teaching roles.
Do you know what has happened in the intervening years there?
Well,
is the program still in existence?
No, but there's part of it in Taiwan. There are an awful lot of graduates from Beiping Union Medical School of Nursing. So those girls had degrees, and many of them masters.
Uh-huh.
And the person I trained got a PhD here.
Oh.
But she is in communist China.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I don't know the details of it, but she was a phenomenal person. And she came over here twice and got her PhD at Yale. And then she married and became a communist and went to communist China. And I heard a couple times from her via uh-huh. England. She wanted me to send her books. She'd left money.
Oh.
I had no idea what she'd left the money for. But then
I
ordered books for her uh-huh. in England that when
she could
to her in China.
I see.
And I really don't know. The Chinese nurses have, you know, kind of looked down, the Taiwan nurses looked down
yeah.
the fact that she'd become a communist
yeah.
and so forth. But there, I would think they have patterned the schools in Taiwan
mm-hmm.
after this school. And it was a great school,
uh-huh.
there's no doubt about
uh-huh.
it. It became Gertrude Hodgman was the dean. And she really pushed to get a baccalaureate program.
Mm-hmm.
And she also worked very hard to get as many of her Chinese faculty to
mm-hmm.
America for master's degrees.
Very interesting. Now, after you left
uh-huh.
Yale, what was your next experience?
University of Chicago. For 13 years.
For 13 years. Were you at the University of Chicago when that program closed?
Yes.
And
yes.
What year was that?
I'd have to look it up. Do you need it? Because
no.
I quick it.
No, well, I'll get it from you some other time.
Curriculum yeah. vitae.
Yes.
What was I going to say now?
We were talking about the University of Chicago.
Oh, yes, I went from Yale, and I was there when it closed. And I stayed on for another year with Rockefeller money and studied children with open heart surgery.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And I had finished that when Dean Bunge called me to come to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I had finished writing. I wrote for a year and a half and did infant welfare in there to keep me from going crazy while I was writing so much.
Yes.
And that's what I was doing. I was
I
looking
see.
At a million jobs at that point in time.
Well, what influenced your decision then to come to Madison?
Well, I jotted those down too. I would say one of the biggest ones, of course, was Dean Bungie, and I'd always admired her. And I'd always been interested in University of Wisconsin. You know, I just thought Madison. I came down here for a journalism convention from high school and was simply thrilled with it. And I was thrilled when she asked me to look at it. Probably my longtime interest in Wisconsin being my native habitat, you see. But also, besides Dean Bungie, was the fact that all the pediatricians were congregated to talk to me when I came down for interviews. And no place else had that happened.
Isn't that interesting?
That didn't happen, and I'd gone to about, I don't know how many universities at that point being interviewed for jobs. I saw pediatricians, but one at a time, and that was arranged, you see, by the deans of the School of Nursing. But I think the pediatricians here wanted a graduate program in pediatrics very badly. And they were assembled, they took time to tell me what their research was, what their interests were, and gave me full ideas that they would participate and support me in every way possible. And I've never had such beautiful participation.
So you really saw this as an opportunity really to put some of your ideas into action.
I did, and I thought I met Margaret DeRose, and I had an idea that she was doing an awfully good job, because I used to meet the students at Lying-In Hospital from here, you see. And I was always impressed with them. And they'd told me about Margaret DeRose and so forth. So that, and I thought that there was lots of clinical material. I didn't realize how many students there were and how big the teams were, which was one problem. But I thought there were facilities, and I thought the need for graduate education in pediatric nursing in the Midwest was great. There was no program in Illinois. There was no program in Western Reserve, Iowa, none of these places.
So there was obviously a need. Did you see it as a real challenge to because it would be the first graduate program at the university? Did you see this as a challenge that you liked?
Yes, in the beginning. But it got so difficult, you know, with the administration of it, plus more and more students. And a two-year program with them coming in first year and second year got terribly heavy. And I wasn't having all the clinical experience. I just couldn't keep up, I couldn't keep up. And I felt very pressured at the end. You know, the school was getting bigger and bigger, and the pediatrics. But I had no idea that I'd be directing a program when I came.
Oh, I see.
I really didn't know what that entailed.
The administrative,
you know, I
aspects
thought
of
it when I said yes. My idea was that it would be like in Chicago, and really in Chicago I was director of the clinical courses in pediatric nursing. I wasn't really the director of the program.
So the
very different.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. The really serious problems or challenges or whatever were more of an administrative nature.
Yes, it was so the administrative job in and of itself would have been a full-time job.
Yes.
Really. And you see, I am so clinical and need it so much to teach and to make teaching alive and to keep learning and doing my kind of research. And it's out of the clinical experiences with students that I got my motivation for learning, my motivation for teaching. And as this got less and less,
it
was less satisfying.
Well, let's go back a little bit to the establishment of the program. In addition to these administrative elements that you've talked about, were there other problems or obstacles or particular, challenges that you had?
Well, I would say that there was much more satisfaction than problems. Actually, there were fewer problems here than at University of Chicago. You see, I was the first one at University of Chicago with graduate students, but at University of Chicago, they didn't have any baccalaureate students.
Right, right.
And ours were the first students going in there.
Okay.
Well, the cooperation and the wish of people, there was, I didn't feel we got bucked in any kind of way. In Chicago, we were had so many problems in the service people accepting us. And I think 99% of it was me, because I was unsure in establishing a graduate program. I didn't know what graduate education was. I didn't know what the content was. So that, and I just barged in as I was learning.
Well, and I think the fact that there were not undergraduate students must have made a great difference.
You see, these they had nurses and staff nurses had no experience with students. And I thought they should be thrilled to death to have those graduate students come in and work with families. And they weren't. This was a disruption.
Yeah. You know, they saw them as a nuisance.
You saw them as a nuisance. And, of course, that broke my heart. Whereas at Yale and Beiping, they loved the students there. Of course, they were participating. But anyway, I've talked over a lot of this with Mrs. Safir in California, who's doing a book on this same, and have spent much more time in that kind of thing with her. Was in, you know, in terms of career. So.
Very good. Okay. Let's continue
obstacles.
Then. Yeah, were there other kinds of obstacles or problems or roadblocks?
A challenge.
They were all a challenge.
Terrific challenge, although it created some problems, in that the patients were so different here than in Chicago or Yale.
Oh, can you?
These were handicapped children, long-term. And so many of the families had complex problems, whereas at Chicago, at Yale, so many of the patients were short-term, acutely ill. And when you have students working with long-term illness, with long time in the hospital, and the students you see followed these patients all the time they were in their graduate program, that they met more problems in nursing. And this required much more supervisory help. And a different kind. So this was a terrific challenge, marvelous challenge, but it also was very draining and very hard. And the students we had here were younger, less experienced than I'd had at Chicago.
Okay.
So I'd say, and carrying all this many responsibilities, that's what, and there was just so darn much to learn when I got here in terms of developing the program. First, should there be a program?
Right. As I recall, this was a period of maybe a year.
Nine months
to come up with this decision about should there be a program, and if there is a program, how do we go about establishing it, and if we establish it, how do we select students? So you did all this in this nine-month period of time.
Had all the programs set up and the course outlines for nursing and all the planning with the people to teach in the fall. You see, this was getting the students in and getting it planned with learning how you operate this in the graduate school.
Right.
Was something.
Right. Because this was the first program and there was
right.
no precedent. Right. Okay. What persons were most helpful to you in this complex process?
Well, I would say Dean Bunging, no doubt about it. And the chief of pediatrics. I've forgotten what his name was. That's it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Nathan Smith was very helpful. And then Lobeck mm-hmm. and Mark Hansen. You couldn't have gotten more wonderful people to work with. But Dean Bunging was a tremendous help. You always felt as though she would support you and mm-hmm. so forth. Then I think people in nursing service were tremendous, and the personnel in the community agencies, like in public health
uh-huh.
over here, and Miss Daw
uh-huh.
over in the University Labs School, because that work with healthy children, child development was so important, and they were simply superb in planning, welcoming up.
You've mentioned what a supportive person she was. Are there some other kinds of things, other kinds of impressions?
Well, I think she was so intent on building up this school.
Uh-huh.
Didn't you feel so?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I think she had total commitment
yes.
to building up not only the baccalaureate program, but graduate uh-huh. programs as well. And I think she was a very supportive person. Exceedingly. I think she was a very fine, wonderful woman. I had great admiration for her. There were two things that irked me terribly, and that was she was slow in making decisions, and also her pressure on research, that constant pressure. That was the most difficult thing for me to handle of all.
She had a real commitment to research.
Yeah.
And I suppose because of this, and as you read through her history of having been involved in research, I suppose it was really her point of view that unless we really got more involved in research, we wouldn't have a graduate program worthy of the name.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that was part
and
of
And she's
her,
right.
Uh-huh. It's just that, from your point of view, there were so many other things to do that you felt this an undue pressure.
I felt there was so much. It wasn't just me.
Right.
This didn't
right.
come to me personally.
No. Right.
It was in the faculty.
Right.
And it irked so many people.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that the energy it took for the faculty to handle their feelings about this, now maybe I was projecting my own onto theirs, that this really deterred
uh-huh.
writing
uh-huh.
rather than fostered it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I couldn't have any more carried research from the first place.
Right.
I didn't have the tools
right.
for it. Although I think I was doing an empirical kind
uh-huh.
of research all the time. I was learning from the patients and from reading and testing this kind of stuff constantly. I never accepted thing out of a book without seeing it and seeing that it worked in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
But that I just thought I couldn't stand. We heard it so much.
Uh-huh.
Did you never react
yes,
to that?
Yes, yes. I know what you're saying because I did react in the same way. And I guess this raises, you know, you're raising some interesting kinds of questions in regard to how do you really encourage, we know what her motivation was, but it raises some questions in how do you really encourage people to do this. And I
Absolutely.
Guess my feeling is that one does need to have the time and the financial support and these kinds of things, that until we're talking about some kind of support, that you can only push people so far.
Right.
And I think, and I do know what you're saying, and I do think that That is true.
Uh-huh. I think it didn't make in me the wish to do research.
Yes.
It did the opposite.
Tended to do the opposite.
If I'd have had that at Yale or at Chicago, I just really wonder whether I'd done any writing.
Uh-huh.
That's because it stirred me up in the resistance of it.
Uh-huh.
And also the interesting thing was that the people that had the tools to do research weren't really doing it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the pressure on us who hadn't the tools.
Right.
If I had my life to do over again, I'd take research. There's no doubt about it. And I think research is terribly important, but there has to be the time.
Right, right, right.
And I think there has to be people who want to do this and are skilled in this. I don't honestly think everybody should have to do this.
No, I think that's true. I also wonder if we don't need to take another look at what constitutes research in nursing. Particularly as it relates to patient care.
Right.
We have tend to look at other people's research and have said, well, nursing ought to model after that kind of research. But maybe we ought to take another view, a broader view, of what kind of research do we really need that will make an impact on patient care.
Absolutely. And this is...
We've tried so hard to be respectable, perhaps.
But we need help in knowing how
right.
to do this,
right.
you see. Mm-hmm. What I think we need is clinical research.
Right.
And this is what I do. If
right.
I was to live my life, I'd take research methodologies, all I could get, but also work with a person like Leventhal, you
uh-huh.
see, that really is doing clinical
right.
stuff. Because... most of these research professors of research wouldn't know how to do clinical
right.
research.
Right.
You really got to get in and work with somebody who's doing that kind of thing, like taking pictures and so. But I think clinical research is desperately needed. There's no doubt. We've got to upgrade nursing, and we don't know whether what we're doing is improving or not.
Right. This is just a little aside, but I
saw
fairly recently some films of mothers and newborn babies, and somebody has come up with the idea that you can almost predict which children will be abused by whether or not the mother looks at the baby. And this was a real interesting idea to me, and I thought, gee, there's a lot more research of that nature that could be carried on. Somebody's got this idea, and we really need to build on that, because it seems to me, you know, one of the serious problems in our high pressure age is this whole matter of child abuse.
All
and
right.
if this could be predicted and prevented, you know, wouldn't that be a great
Uh-huh. Start right in the newborn
right.
nursery.
Right.
There must
right.
be something in the prenatal period that would tell us this is going to be an abusing
right.
mother.
Right. And if a trust relationship or something could be
wouldn't
established,
it
would be. It's to me, it's a very exciting idea.
Oh.
And, you know, but as I say, it doesn't fall into some of our traditional points of view of research. Well, let's go on and. You've given a few impressions of Dean Bunyan. What about the kind of support you felt from the rest of the faculty of the School of Nursing?
Oh, I thought it was very good. They were very helpful in developing the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find anybody who was bucking it.
Mm-hmm.
At least I never, if they were, I didn't know
it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Now into some of the information about the students.
Yeah.
Five students were admitted to the program the fall of 64.
Right.
Right.
One dropped out at the end of a year.
I see.
She got married.
So four completed the program then in June of 66. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How were those first students selected, and how did they find out about the program? Because that was one of your problems too.
Right. Yeah, we had to get those all admitted before I left. Carolyn Aradine knew about the program from Martha Patel. You know, Martha Patel visited us that year.
Oh.
And I really set up that program thinking she was going to come on the faculty.
Oh.
Or that was Dean Bunge's and my dream, you see, because
uh-huh.
she oh, she could have been such a marvelous and gotten the nursing of embryology and genetics and that kind of thing. But she taught Carolyn Narodine, and so she told Carolyn that a program was starting. Catherine Slemar and Karen Pridham were Madisonians.
Yes.
Graduates of the school, and of course they heard about it here. Marie Bramer had worked with a person who'd been students of mine at University of Chicago, and she was really waiting for me to get established someplace for another graduate program.
You didn't have more candidates than you wanted.
No, we took all of them. Ms. Schlicke grew up in Milwaukee, went to Vanderbilt, but she knew about it from book writing.
I see. Okay. And I'm sure you keep close tabs of the graduates.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what they're doing?
I can tell you. That you really want all that? I almost did stuff here. That's the the finale of it.
Isn't that great?
Well, I'm not sure it's completely accurate, but now I don't know how to do this. How detailed do you want?
If you are willing to share this chart with me, I would like that.
Sure.
Okay.
And I'll give you this, too. But
fine.
But I'm not sure how accurate I am.
Oh, well, that's all right. That will give me something to go on.
Oh.
Why don't we... can you just make some general comments about the areas that they've gone into?
Yes, this kind everything of imaginable. Those are the areas.
I see, just everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some that are clinical specialists plus doing consultation.
Uh-huh.
There are three studying for the PhD at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Straight study.
Uh-huh.
There are another three who are teaching plus study for the PhD. There are two that are married doing nothing else but family raising that I know of.
Uh-huh.
They may be doing more. There are three that are doing education and consultation services. Nell Kirby's at Hopkins, you know. There are two teaching graduate education. There are three teaching plus study. There are five teaching at baccalaureate level. There are two in state consultation service. Mary Beckman and Janet Rudy is just going to be
Illinois.
There's Joan Sabin is, I didn't know what to call her, community nursing. She's in registration or something like that. There are three that are married and in part-time public health nursing. There is one that is a consultant in national organization in health, education, and welfare. Two straight clinical specialists, as far as I know. There's one that's assistant supervisor in service at Mass General. There are two that are married and doing part-time teaching at the undergraduate level. And there's one that's a clinical specialist in teaching at the baccalaureate level. Now, these are just the people that I knew, you see.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go on with that. But
well,
you're welcome
to that would be useful to
any of you.
Fine. They certainly have gone into a wide range of things, haven't they?
Go back to satisfaction.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get to that yet. We haven't gotten to that.
Let's talk about it. But surely what these students are doing must give you a great deal of satisfaction.
Oh, yeah. I love to hear about it, you
know.
And I see it an awful lot of them, one way or another. Another great satisfaction at University of Wisconsin was seeing the program grow. You see, this is a 2-year program.
Right.
And I felt this was a need after the short one at Chicago. And developing the practicums was very satisfying. You see, every year we developed more, and we developed those in terms of what the students wanted to be. And I rather felt that the practicum, where they could get their feet wet with an experienced person who was practicing a specific kind of role that she wanted to fulfill, was a terribly important thing. And this is one of the several ways that I thought the program here was superior to the one we had in Chicago. We didn't have practicums, and I think this program was much stronger. And because it had the biologic sciences in it. When I was at Chicago, I felt absolutely we needed more physiology, biological sciences.
That was a one-year program?
That was 9 months. Clinical. Mm-hmm. Clinical thing. It was 5 months altogether with the other courses they took. Five quarters. So this was longer. Now, Stephen, other satisfaction. Yeah. Well, the clinical supervision of students is always a great satisfaction, especially with these long-term chronically ill patients. This was terrifically challenging. Of course, living in a university town, I love Madison.
Now, when did you retire?
When did I retire? I wrote that down. I have to look it up on the thing.
You've been so busy since then.
Right. June 70.
Okay. And what are some of the things that you've done since then?
Well, Signe, I'm awful busy.
You're busier now than you were before?
Yeah. I traveled, you know. I went to Spain. I felt getting away from Madison was very important in terms of the people who were carrying on, not have the old person around. I think this is very high. I've done quite a lot since graduating with former students in writing, helped them in editing things and so forth, either face-to-face or by mail and so forth. I've done quite a lot with that. Some consultation with Iowa prominently in St. Louis University and the University of Wisconsin graduates and so forth. I do quite a lot of volunteer activities in a variety of stuff, such as working at Bethel Shop. I've done, worked in a daycare, summer daycare camp one summer. I helped in the Bethel Summer Bible School with the kids. That was great. I do a lot in the Madison Art Center shop and in other kinds of ways. And I work with the home crafters, doing some of that, selling in the Wisconsin Center and that kind of stuff. I do some friendly visiting with the Department of Independent Living. I'm having a wonderful experience with a 91-year-old lady who lives all alone.
Oh, isn't that marvelous?
In her own home. I got her to a doctor's visit yesterday. And I was, you know, she could fall so easily.
Yes.
But she's a wonderful person, school teacher. And she taught me one day I was there how to use a computer.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Then I visited quite a lot in nursing homes and convalescent stuff with people at Christ Presbyterian Church. I think I'm doing this to get myself ready for aging. I'd rather be working in nursery schools, really, but I'm so afraid of getting respiratory infections for the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
I do a lot of handwork. Working with driftwood, I took sewing and stitchery over at the place. Then I go in the summer and the fall to the seashore. I do a lot of entertaining and enjoy it very much. Love to cook. I go to the Bethel Bible Series, trying to learn something. I go to Women's College Week. I volunteered with Nursing Christian Fellowship and went to one of their summers workshops, which I learned a great deal from. And Dr. Mansour, I think, is absolutely terrific.
Yes.
I took his week's course in the intertestamental period. And went to his book and spade, all of that. And I've gotten terribly interested in that kind of stuff. And I'd say that's sort of it.
That's wonderful. I think that you could make a lot of contributions to people on how to retire gracefully.
That's really one of my goals.
That's interesting.
I really hope that I can help people to want to retire. You know,
I
not dread it.
Right.
Because it really is great.
I think that this is what you've identified, is that you're having a good time in your retirement, and it's partly because of your involvement in so many things, and you still keep on learning. Because you've made some special contributions to the nursing literature, I wondered if you did have any suggestions for, particularly for budding nurse authors.
Well, you want me to be real honest?
Sure.
I wouldn't again do a textbook. Can I get you some more tea?
No.
I wouldn't do a textbook because it's an awful drain. And the redoing and hanging over your head constantly is an awful drain, really. I would do monographs that never had to be revised. And in that way, you could do more, you know.
They would be more current.
Yeah, I think at the time I did the textbooks, I think there was great need for this, probably. But I think I would do, again, I said, get involved in clinical research and spend time writing. I really love to write using case materials and studying that. And doing that, because I think it would really keep you alive more and probably help, although you'd learn a lot revising, too.
I know what you mean about the revision and the time and
the drain. I'll bet you do.
But I guess there's something that is sort of implied in what you're saying, because it seems to me that in nursing, for a while anyway, we're going to need the textbooks in the traditional sense. Now, maybe as teachers get more skilled and as we develop other kinds of materials, maybe that won't be so urgent. But I guess what your comment gets me to thinking about, maybe we need to think of different ways of supporting those people who are interested in writing textbooks. And I guess this is one of the problems that we have in nursing, is that too often this is something that people do on their own time and with their own efforts. And what you're saying is this is such a drain that you would not do it over again. And yet, you know, this creates a certain amount of anxiety, because if everybody felt that way,
We'd never have
any textbooks. And so that also raises some kinds of questions. Well, Florence,
I don't know whether that book I wrote on my own, I think, was untimely. You know, I think if it had been written 10 years later, probably it would have...
This is the nurse, the parent, and the child. Yeah, I can't remember the
that was ahead of time. But you see, I never did that over. Actually, doing that over probably would have been most in terms of. I don't know, but I just couldn't keep doing over two, and carrying the load I was carrying. Teaching was more important, really.
Right, and keeping current and so on. Okay, we talked a little bit earlier about some predictions about nursing.
I wanted to go back on that. Ideas to budding people.
Yes.
Get help in editing early.
I think that is a good
very
thing,
right? Early. Mm-hmm. Now, when I did that open heart surgery, I had the help of an editor at the Children's Bureau. And I learned so much from her in those few days. It was marvelous. It was just a wonderful experience in learning. Early, you know, could have saved you so much.
I remember some conversation I had with Miss Beeland, who at one time was talking.
She said this is the same thing.
About writing a book. About writing a book. And I, from my observations of some people that I've talked to and some of the kinds of mistakes they've made, I think there's a need for something like that. It's, as more nurses become interested, and hopefully they will become more interested in writing, it does seem that there are some shortcuts and that there are some things that everybody shouldn't have to learn by trial and error.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Well,
now, prediction.
What about the future? Predictions for the future.
Well, I was thinking about that in the bathtub this morning. I think nurses are going to work much more independently. Mm-hmm. And they're going to determine their own roles and how to get prepared for those. I think they're going to do much more in primary care. I think they're going to do, my hunch would be that they're going to do an awful lot of geriatric nursing.
Yes.
And I think this will be a real help to society.
Right. Particularly the kind of thing that you were talking about earlier, and that is how do you keep the older person in his own home, for instance, with just a little bit of support. This is possible, and yet our communities are not set up. And I see this as a real role for nurses.
Oh, it'd be just terrific. Uh-huh. And also helping them with their chronic problem.
Right.
Because the doctors really don't have time.
They're
not interested to help them know and to teach them how to do for themselves. Mm-hmm. And they would feel so much more worthwhile if they knew about their illness and they knew how to take care of themselves. So that I think nurses could do a tremendous amount.
Right.
And I think we've got to work much more with young families prenatally. And I just think what I wrote in 1954, the need for nurses working in preventive mental health, especially with the expectant parents and the young families, and anticipatory guidance. My gosh, primary care, we were talking about that 20 years ago.
Right.
But it just didn't catch on. Probably we didn't have time, you know. We were so occupied with so many things. I think there'll be much more care of people in their homes because I don't think they can afford the hospital. And I don't think they should get in the hospital if they can keep out.
Right.
You know, I think what Methodist is going to do over here is just
isn't
great.
Isn't that exciting? Yes.
Absolutely great.
Right.
To be able to get some minimal nursing care while you're in your apartment and not have to be admitted. Because I don't like being in hospitals.
Right.
Nobody likes being in a retirement home or nursing home either.
Right.
I hope I die en route.
Yeah, right.
That would be.
Okay.
Now, this one about establishing, how to establish a program, I thought quite a lot about that.
Yes, all right. Let's talk about that.
Now, wait one good event.
That was a particular problem because this was the first program.
Right. Well, in the first place, and maybe I've talked about it, in the first place, there was so much to study when I came. In the first place, we had to answer, is there a need for a graduate program here? And what does the society, family in particular, need from a pediatric nurse? That was terribly important to think about. And then we had to see whether there were the facilities we needed to develop the program. So I was running around an awful lot looking. And then I had to find out what the undergraduate program was like in pediatric nursing particularly. So I worked you know, with students mm-hmm. for a while to see what we a graduate program should build on. And then we had to find out what the objectives, philosophy, and what kind of a curriculum would meet them, and can we produce the requirements to meet the objectives. So we had a graduate education committee. Weren't you on that? Uh-huh. We did a lot of writing of objectives, didn't we? And planning curriculum. Then I had to find out if there was sufficient interest in the School of Nursing and the School of Medicine and Home Economics and the graduate school, per se, in nursing service. Uh-huh. You know, really, were they interested in this? Then I had to develop relationships with faculty in the School of Nursing. They were pretty superficial because there was a darn thing of medicine, home economics, social service, nursing service, and other service areas of the medical center in the community, public health and around. And I needed to interpret our goals, our philosophy, and our need for help from them mm-hmm. in implementing it. And I had to find out what they thought society needed from nurses and how they saw pediatric nurses prepared, right?
Right.
Then I had to establish relationships with the personnel in the administrative offices of the graduate school. They were very helpful. Then we had to develop curriculums. I don't know how many we did, and then we took them to the faculty, remember?
Yes.
And got their suggestions, right. And they were very helpful. Then it had to be revised again. Then remember when we got that consultant from the NLN?
Oh, yes.
Who came down there and made a suggestion, and I was so mad I kicked cans all the way home. You were with me.
Yes, I was. I remember that.
You were with me. I was so mad. I was so mad to have to, and I knew they were waiting for the outlines, you see. And I came home just fuming, but I couldn't stop. I had to play with that thing. And by 3 o'clock, I had a new curriculum revised. And the next morning, Helen Bungie came up. I think she knew how upset I was, and she said, "Now listen here, you don't have to do any of that. You can do it just the way you want to." I said, "It's all done." And it was the best suggestion.